Good morning, and I'd like to thank the organizers for organizing this whole meeting so that we have this opportunity to share our research with one another. My name is Rebecca Mock. I'm from the University of California, Riverside, and again, I'm going to be speaking on the oxidation of arsenic 3 by iron-coated manganese oxides. So arsenic is a contaminant of concern around the world. It mobilizes into groundwater relatively easily, and here we see a map of areas of the world where it's particularly of concern. Once it's mobilized into the groundwater, it's taken into the human consumption in two ways. It can be taken in through drinking the groundwater, or it's also used in irrigation, and then it's taken up into the, for example, in rice. So it's taken up into the rice and then consumed in the diet. This can result in arsenicosis and various cancers. We know that manganese oxides and iron oxides interact in acid mine runoff. However, we believe they also interact in natural soils under anoxic conditions and reducing conditions. And how we think this works is that you have these aggregates in the soils, and part of those aggregates are contain these iron oxides, which you see in that sort of orangish brown color. And on those iron oxide aggregates, you'll get these clumps of bernicite, manganese oxide, and that's represented by those dark brown clusters you're seeing on those aggregates. Now, water flows through these aggregates in two ways. There's advective flow, which will flow around the aggregates, and diffusive flow that flows through the aggregates. And when there's diffusive flow, that will release iron 2 into that water, which will then come in contact with the bernicite, the manganese oxides, on the surface. They will undergo a redox reaction, and those iron oxides will create a surface passivation of those manganese oxides. When this surface passivation occurs, if arsenic 3 should come in contact with that, it's thought that there would be no reaction, because the oxidative power of the manganese oxides has been reduced. However, we believe that the arsenic 3, when it comes in contact, will be oxidized to arsenic 5, some of which will be adsorbed onto the solids, some of which will remain aqueous, and that manganese 2 will be released. We think that this occurs through electron transfer from the arsenic to the manganese oxides through that iron coating. So how are we testing for this? What I have here is a rendering of a Doden reactor. It's got two chambers, and in the middle it's separated by a semipermeable membrane, which allows us to mimic the diffusion through those aggregates. So how I set up my experiment was on one side, can you see the brown? One side I put solids in, and that cannot cross into the other chamber. And then on the other side I put in aqueous iron 2 and allowed that to diffuse over time and where it would come in contact with those manganese oxides, creating that iron-coated bernicite. After I'd created this iron-coated bernicite solids, I injected arsenic 3 into the system, again on the opposite side, and allowed it to diffuse and react with those iron-coated manganese oxides. So as far as my results go, my aqueous phase, I took samples over time. The first thing I'm going to show to you is in the iron-coated manganese oxide formation. So I injected iron 2 and allowed it to diffuse, and this is over time, so it's in a matter of days, and I did it dope-wise. So those two high points are my injection points. And I tested to make sure that it was being absorbed using a ferrazine assay, and those are those low points. And I made sure that it was pretty much all absorbed and here you can see on the bernicite side, it stayed low the whole time, indicating that it was reacting with the bernicite and was coming out of solution. Here you can see there was some release of manganese into solution, so we know that that was the reaction that was taking place. And we anticipated that about that level of release into solution. Here's some SEM images of my time point zero. You can see they're kind of fuzzy, but there's my bernicite. On the other side, you clearly start to see some iron structures forming. So for those iron, I then speciated my iron phase on those solids at the SSRL, so using synchrotron data. So here are my XFs. I just I'm just showing you a few so it doesn't get too crazy. So I have my 2.5 hours, 7 hours, 22 hours, and 61 hours after I injected the iron. And then my standards are ferrohydrite, lepidocrosite, and magnetite. And what we can see here is initially we were forming ferrohydrite and lepidocrosite, and then by the end of the time we were forming magnetite. After I had created those iron-coated manganese oxides, I injected aqueous arsenic 3 into the system and allowed that to diffuse, again taking samples over time. Here you can see there was still some iron absorption going on, but that is actually on a different scale than the previous graphs. So it's actually a very small level of iron absorption going on. That's actually 0.03 molar down to zero. So there wasn't that much iron left in solution. And again, on the burn site chamber, it stays pretty constant throughout the entire experiment. Here you can see there was still some initial manganese release, I believe, from that iron absorption, but then we also got some additional manganese released after the arsenic was added. So here I have my total arsenic concentrations in the system. So on the left you see the diffusion rate going down, and on the right you can see that it is reacting, it is coming out of solution, it is forming on the solids. Here I speciated my arsenic. You can see it initially starts out entirely as arsenic 3, and as we move on, you start to see some arsenic 5 in solution. It's hard to see, so I moved it to nanomolar, and so you can get a clearer view of the reactions going on. So initially, even on the bernicite side, it was all arsenic 3, but then we start to see an increase in the arsenic 5 concentration. My solid phase results. These are not complete. I haven't completely finished my analysis on these. I'm just showing you these to give you an idea of the ratios that we had going on. So initially it was pretty much 100% manganese, and then as time goes on, we start to see those iron solids forming on there. And here we see I included the arsenic. And so initially there's very, very little arsenic, and you can see it increase. But what is particularly interesting in this is if you look at the level of iron, it remains pretty constant throughout the entire experiment. And you see the arsenic is replacing just the manganese oxides. So that also indicates that the manganese is being released into the system. My conclusions: arsenic is being oxidized in this system. Manganese is being released simultaneous to that oxidation. So manganese is the electron acceptor in this redox reaction. I would like to thank the UCR Provost Fellowship, which is my funding. I'd like to thank the Environmental Toxicology Program, which I'm a part of. I'd like to thank my lab mates, Claudia Avila, and our undergrad helper, Seto Churchian, who helped me prepare a ton of ICP samples, and Dr. David Lyons for helping me set those up, Dr. Haija Lu for letting me use some of his resources in his lab, Michelle Chibert for helping me do some XRD data, and Ilkun Liu who helped me on the SEM. Here's some of my references. And questions, unless I've put you all to sleep. Yes.
So do you think it's possible that you have a patchy coating of the ferrohydrite, the lepidocrosite, magnetite, whatever it is, the time scale, and that the arsenic arsenite is just getting right to the surface of the manganese?
It is a possibility. That's one of the reasons that I'm going to go do more SEM and do EDX analysis on it to make sure that there's a constant iron coating.
So you have a thick enough
shell. Yeah. Yes.
Have you done any manganese speciation at all on the surface?
No, I haven't. I haven't done any of my arsenic speciation either. That's I have the samples for it. We just are going to beam time later.
I was curious, when do you think you start to see the passivation process? And is it due to the arsenic? Is it due to manganese 2, manganese 3?
The passivation?
Yeah. When you start to see a diminution in the oxidation process.
In the oxidation process? You mean post iron addition?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that you want a pretty good concentration of iron in the system to make sure that it's fully coated. Otherwise, you're still going to get some interactions directly between the arsenic and the manganese, and that would sort of invalidate that. So. Yes?
I might have missed what you said, but did you exclude oxygen from the system?
Yes. This was all performed in a coy chamber. No, I didn't. Yeah.
What do you think anticipates the practical application of the
mine? We're just sort of trying to define this mechanism at this point. So it's just something that we think is possible, and previous research has shown that iron oxides can act as an electron shuttle. So we're just trying to use that in this case to show that it can cause the oxidation of arsenic. Yes?
Yeah, I would just suggest this is a well-known process called galvanic coupling.
Mm-hmm.
If you could look up that, it'll explain the theory behind what you're seeing.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.